Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this is it, the grand finale of our look back at the year in music. You've been waiting all week for it, and we will finally present it to you, the worst moments in music in 2013, plus more of the best live performances in our studio. And it's time to wrap up my survey of the top 10 reasons why New York music ruled the world. But first, let me tell you a story. Early last week, I went to a little memorial service that Laurie Anderson was having at her and Lou Reed's apartment. A few people spoke about Lou and his work and read from his various writings. Former Saturday Night Live music director Hal Wilner spoke about doing radio with Lou. Suzanne Vega revealed how Lou Reed, surprisingly, inspired one of her biggest hits. It was really nice. I stayed a few hours and then left with a musician I know who was carrying a guitar, so it must have been obvious where we were coming from, because when we got to the front door, a guy walked in, looked at us, and asked what apartment the event was in. Now, I'd done the same thing earlier. I had walked in because someone had opened the door, saw that it wasn't a doorman building, and was like, oh, I don't have the apartment number. So I suddenly realized that, A, I'm talking to David Bowie, and B, I actually do now know the apartment number. Well, Bowie is famously well protected from the press and the media, so every bone in my body is telling me, talk to him, remind him that we've met before, book him on the show, grab the guitar, bonk him on the head and drag his unconscious body back to the studio, do something. But come on, it was Lou Reed's memorial service. He was late. So I told him the apartment number and how to get there, and off he went. David Bowie and Lou Reed, the top two reasons why New York music ruled the world in 2013. Everybody wants to rule the world. Reason number two, the return of David Bowie. After a silence so long that even die-hard Bowie fans like me assumed he had retired, Bowie surprised the world by releasing a single on his birthday in January and then revealing that a full LP was coming in March. That in itself was great news, but the even better news was that the album was first rate. Looking back to perhaps his greatest work, the period when he was living in Berlin and recording the album Heroes, Bowie and his cohorts, all of whom were sworn to secrecy, created an album that was keenly observed, often quite dark, occasionally tinged with melancholy, but full of classic rock. Dead ones and the living, waiting for the first move, satyrs and their child wives, waiting for the last move, soaking up our primitive world. Stars are never sleeping. Stars Are Out Tonight skewers our fascination with celebrity, which makes me glad now that I think of it that I didn't try to get into a full-blown conversation with Bowie in that doorway last week. But as with Heroes, this album also has its moments of eerie, almost desolate beauty.
The theft of love, and I tell myself, I don't know who I am. And I tell myself, I don't know who I am. My father and the prison.
Heat is how the Bowie album The Next Day ends. And this is how my list of the top 10 reasons why New York music ruled the world in 2013 ends. with the moment when the whole music world stopped to mark the passing of a musical legend who was also a very real New Yorker. When Lou Reed died at the end of October, it was impossible to think of him without mentioning New York. He seemed to embody the city, its edge, its creativity, its threat of imminent danger, and its hidden but generous heart. I think what we realized as tributes poured in from around the world is that, even now, Lou Reed still rules.
We're supposed to be a land of liberty and those city lights to play is forever. But bandit or tramp, mainly on that street corner man. When he left us, his humor left us forever and ever. Don't those city lights bring the streets to life? Don't these crazy nights bring us together? Any rainy day, you could dance all your blues away. Don't these city lights bring us together? Together.
Lou Reed with City Lights. And that wraps up my year-end list for 2013, the top 10 reasons why New York music ruled the world. If you missed any of them, the full list is at soundcheck.org. Now, during our Year in Music series, we've also been shedding some light on albums that aren't the big consensus picks that keep appearing on all these year-end top 10 lists. We've been asking guests and listeners, what's your hidden gem of 2013? Now, we had a visit the other day from Broken Bells. That's the duo comprised of Brian Burton, the well-known producer who records as Danger Mouse, and James Mercer, who you may know from The Shins. Together, both guys agreed on a hidden gem. First, you'll hear Danger Mouse, and then you'll hear James Mercer.
Really like the Junip album. This is their second album. It's a self-titled album. The singer's Jose Gonzalez. I guess he's a Swedish guy.
Despite the name, yes.
Yeah. I really love his voice anyway, and the band, it's a great band. And the first album was one of my favorites back in, I guess, 2010, I guess. It was really great. I didn't discover it until about a year and a half ago maybe. But the new album's really good too. And I don't think a lot of people know about them, so.
I mean, I guess it's sort of folky, but like very rhythmic as well.
Yeah, great band.
And terrific production, and everything's so well played. It's just an awesome, awesome record.
Second record from the band Junip. Music from the band Junip and their self-titled album from this year. The song's called So Clear, a hidden gem picked by the duo Broken Bells, Brian Burton, a.k.a. Danger Mouse, and James Mercer of The Shins. They have a new record coming out next month. What other hidden gems came out this year? Well, let's listen to a voicemail from our listener Jeff in Williamsburg.
My hidden gem is a super hidden gem. I just stumbled into a band that was playing at Pete's Candy Store and picked up their CD. They're called Clara Berry and Wool Dog. The CD was The Magician's Wife. And I was so excited when I heard them playing, and the record just completely blew me away. And I was playing it on a snowy day yesterday, and it was just perfect for the winter. That's my hidden gem for 2013. Thanks.
May not be the best timing, but the heavens are full and I need the ground. Air traffic control, fuel. If you could feel my wings, you too would fall from grace. Blessings are not, I'm coming down. The heavens are full and I need the ground.
Well, you never know who you're going to see at Pete's Candy Store, the venue in Brooklyn. Jeff from Williamsburg stumbled across this band there, Claraberry and Wooldog. The song's called Air Traffic from their album The Magician's Wife. And that, a hidden gem from this year. Lonnie from Westchester picked a very different kind of artist as his hidden gem for 2013. Miss Ko is a Taiwanese-American rapper from Queens who now lives in Taiwan.
She had this one song, a couple of really good songs. One song I definitely like is called A Knockout.
Miss Ko with Knockout. Get it? Knockout, K-O. And her name is Miss Ko, K-O. Lonnie from Westchester. That's his hidden gem for this year. All right, in a moment, the worst music of the year. Sean Manning joins us with a list of five just awful things. And later, some more best live performances from the Soundcheck studio. Stay with us. I'm John Schaefer, and Soundcheck's Year in Music special wouldn't be complete without an annual tradition here at the show. Yes, it's time for the worst music of 2013, and for this very special assignment, we've called upon Sean Manning, contributor to Esquire.com. Sean, welcome back.
Happy holidays, John.
This mission, which you chose to accept, has brought us the opportunity to talk about some pretty stinky stuff.
Well, you know, this week has been, you've had a love fest on this week.
Yes, we have.
But I'm here to keep it real.
All right.
And say that the hard stuff that needs to be said, which is that 2013 kind of sucked for music a little bit.
There was a lot of really bad pop music, I
yes.
thought.
Yes. I mean, think about it. What are the most memorable songs from this year? Robin Thicke.
Yeah, Blurred Lines,
Cyrus.
Right?
I came in like a wrecking ball. This is the standard to which we're holding ourselves.
And yet, even with the bar set that low, I mean, if that's what you're suggesting,
sure.
That it is set low.
It is.
You've still come up with a song that...
Even lower.
That does not even aspire to that bar.
No. Those are Van Gogh's compared
okay.
to this song.
Worst song of 2013.
It's pretty obvious. Accidental Racist by Brad Paisley with help from LL Cool J.
I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland trying to not to be. I'm proud of where I'm from, but not everything we've done. And it ain't like you and me can rewrite history.
Now this was an easy target.
Yes. And yet it has to be said again, reiterated. I know you spoke about it earlier this week, but there's so many things offensive about this song, and it goes beyond just the condescension and the racism, the ham-fisted thoughts about race and class and all that. It's the cliches, the overabundant cliches in this song, everything from elephant in the corner, can of worms, walking on eggshells, And really what's most upsetting is that LL Cool J is no longer his former self. How far he has fallen. As somebody who even bought 14 Shots to the Dome after Mama Said Knock You Out, it pains me. It really does.
All right, let's hear LL Cool J.
Yes.
And this is what his part of, this is his riposte to Brad Paisley.
Dear Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. Just because my pants are sagging doesn't mean I'm up to no good. You should try to get to know me. I really wish you would. Now my chains are gold, but I'm still misunderstood. I wasn't there when Sherman's march turned the South into firewood. I want you to get paid, but be a slave, I never could. Feel like a newfangled jangle dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate and clear the air. But I see that red flag and I think you wish I wasn't here. If you don't judge my new rag, I won't judge your red flag.
LL Cool J and Brad Paisley. Accidental Racist, the worst song of the year, says Sean Manning, contributor to Esquire.com, and with me in the soundcheck studio. There's just so many kinds of wrong going on.
Well, I think a lot of people have brought up the issue of it starting at a Starbucks, which I think is a little bit just as classist as to saying, like, what? Like, Brad Paisley can't go get a Starbucks?
To the man that waited on me at the Starbucks down on Main, I hope you understand. When I put on that T-shirt, the only thing I meant to say is I'm a Skinnerd fan.
The problem I have with it is when he's going through his T-shirt drawer that day, if he wants to wear the Lynyrd Skynyrd T-shirt, wear the Lynyrd Skynyrd T-shirt. Don't wear the Confederate flag T-shirt.
The red flag on my chest somehow is like the elephant in the corner of the South.
Well, and just the whole... the chains of gold, my chains of iron, because now
there's part of it that I love about this song is that this can still happen. In this day and age when everything is so quality controlled and publicists and all this machinery surrounding, how did this get through all of those levels?
Well, you know, it did not become a hit. I mean, it became a big target of ridicule. All right, continuing with our theme of how did this happen, worst video of the year. Former child star Corey Feldman.
Yes.
How did this happen?
How did this happen? I think there's an explanation. It seems that it's doubling as a commercial for an energy drink.
Which appears like once in the whole thing.
And if you Google it, I can't find any other indication that this energy drink exists. So I'm still befuddled. I mean, there's bad and then there's so bad that it's good. And there's been a lot of bad videos this year. I think Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines is one that really stands out to me. Just so unimaginative and lazy, and not to mention misogynistic. You know, Limp Bizkit had an album. Even Tan Mom had an album. But this one, it just ascends the bad to the almost sublime.
Well, it's called Ascension Millennium. Tell us the story.
Well,
here.
I'm trying to figure out the story because it is 2013. Like, somebody needs to tell Corey the millennium has happened and passed. I don't know where this was. Maybe this has, like, been in the can for 15 years. But so the story is that he wakes up in the morning. He gets out of bed. There's two pseudo playmate Victoria's Secret angels walking around in lingerie as he's showering. He heads downstairs. He meets his former Goonie cohort, Sean Astin, who does a reprise of his role in Goonies. He goes through. He walks through the pool. He high-fives some people. He goes to the kitchen, gets some pancakes from a Chef Boyardee lookalike, and goes into a bedroom whose walls fall away. He's performing with his band, and he gets back in bed. So it's a typical day in Corey Feldman's life.
And the song is called Ascension Millennium. The video has to be seen to be believed, but here's a little of the song.
Yeah.
that's a little of Corey Feldman with Ascension Millennium. Sean Manning puts that out there as the worst video in a banner year for bad videos.
And I failed to mention that he reprises in the middle of the video. The worst part of the video is the reprise of the Smooth Criminal video, where he hats descend from the ceiling on kite string, apparently. And there's a couple of, LAB actor model types that are dancing with him and some really bad choreography. And it's bizarre because I do believe that he was pretty close with Michael Jackson, or they had been friends sometime.
There is this weird Corey Feldman Michael Jackson thing where at one point I think the story goes he was planning to testify against Michael Jackson, and then when Michael Jackson died, he suddenly did this whole tribute thing.
Yeah,
and it seemed very heartfelt. So there he is in the middle of this video. With the hat moves that Michael Jackson used in a lot of his classic videos.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what to make of this.
It's astounding, and I'm speechless. But it will be trapped in your head.
Apparently not.
I'm sorry. It will be trapped in your head for the rest of the day, John.
All right, Sean Manning is here giving us some of the lowlights of 2013. Listeners, your turn. What was the single worst musical moment of the year? Could be an album, a video, a concert, whatever. Tweet us at Soundcheck or leave your comment at soundcheck.org. All right, here's a category I didn't expect to see on your list. Worst Enigma.
Now, I'm expecting to take some heat from you on this, which I was excited to talk to you about, but this award goes to Morrissey, who released a memoir this year. Now, everybody, this has been long anticipated. We're talking at least a decade or more in the wings. Is he doing this? Is this rumored?
There have been books about the Smiths. There have been books about Morrissey. There's been speculation for 25 years about Morrissey, his sexuality, and all that kind of stuff.
He's so vague and mysterious.
And enigmatic.
Who is this man? So my problem was, I love Morrissey the Enigma. I don't want to know the answers to this. There are so few enigmas in pop culture and certainly in music these days. I kind of equate it to Dave Chappelle coming back after his decade-long hiatus to do stand-up this summer. There's something about it that I wish these guys would just keep to themselves, and sort of it embellishes that mythos.
All right, but let me ask you, I mean, the book, Autobiography, he's still an enigma by the end of it. So hasn't he done exactly what he should do?
It's a little bit similar to the Dylan Chronicles, and
that's exactly what I was thinking.
He's telling you just enough, but you're still questioning the truth of it. It does add to it somewhat, but there's still the idea of, like, I fear that this will eventually lead to a reunion tour.
All right, so I guess your big question is Morrissey a reliable narrator of his own story? That is Morrissey, formerly of the Smiths, from his album Your Arsenal from 1992. We heard the song We Hate It When Our Friends Become Successful. Sean Manning hated it when Morrissey decided to spill a few beans in his memoir called Autobiography. So, Worst Enigma of 2013, that award goes to Morrissey. Worst Sign That I'm Getting Old.
Yes. This has been a little bit painful, and this is coming at the tail end of 2013 in a couple of weeks' time. Britney Spears begins her two-year residency in Las Vegas. And at first, I just kind of shrugged it off. But then I was curious because, the Las Vegas residency is something of my parents' generation.
You think of the Rat Pack.
The Rat Pack.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis.
Yeah.
Elton John. Celine Dion. Even Shania Twain to some extent. But to see one of my contemporaries going there, I thought it was bizarre. And then I Googled how old Elvis was when he went to Vegas. Did you know how old he was when he went to Vegas?
No.
34. You always think of Elvis as this sort of wizened, rough, alcohol, bloated.
Well, he was middle-aged early then.
Middle-aged
young.
And John, I'm 34. I am freaked out now that Britney Spears is 32. And she's on essentially saying, maybe it's not on the downside of your career anymore going to Vegas. You better work, work. 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 Now get to work. Now get to work.
From Britney Jean, the recent release by Britney Spears. When does her Las Vegas residency begin?
I believe,
Sean?
It's the last week of December. And just as unsettling is that it's taking place at Planet Hollywood, which I thought Planet Hollywood went out of business like 10 years ago. But apparently Bruce Willis is back in action.
All right. Worst trend in music in 2013.
This one is the most sincere of my picks. And it really bothered me. This is musicians wanting to be performance artists. You had Jay-Z going 6 hours with Picasso Baby and going...
Performing the song. 6 hours.
Staring down Marina Abramovic.
Who is a real performing artist.
And Abramovic had Lady Gaga in one of her performance videos naked. You know, Madonna was doing an Elliott Smith cover at Gagosian. The National played 6 hours straight at MoMA. What? Like, the thing that I find most offensive about it is that this is arguably the biggest art bubble in history. You've got Francis Bacon's painting selling at auction, the most expensive painting ever sold at auction, for over $142 million.
Right.
And these artists are aligning themselves with this culture whilst all of their fans are still struggling to claw their way out of the recession.
And if you're performing at the Pace Gallery or the Gagosian Gallery or any of these high-end places, how many of your fans are actually going to be able to go?
I mean, take a look at the Jay-Z video. Who appears in that? Jerry Saltz, who's a very revered and great critic for New York Magazine. You've got some of the cast of Girls that are there. You've got fashion designers. You've got it's not the people who
It's not the rank and file.
It's not the rank and file who are waiting 6 months after they buy their tickets on Ticketmaster.
You can find that video online. Here's a little bit of what it sounds like. Jay-Z performing his song Picasso Baby for 6 hours straight at the Pace Gallery in New York.
Condos in my condos. I want a Rover. Christie's with my missy. Live at the MoMA. Bacon's and turkey bacon. Smelly aroma. You messed up my whole flow, but I'm gonna get it back. Oh, what a feeling. Picasso, baby. Picasso, baby. Oh, what a feeling. Picasso, baby. Picasso, baby. Picasso, baby. Picasso, baby. Hard to tell. I'm the new Jean Michel. Surrounded by Warhols, my whole team. Bow.
Well, sounds like somebody's having a good time there. Sean Manning certainly didn't like it.
I think, again, another thing that bothers me about this is, like, the references. Picasso.
Jean-Michel.
Warhol.
Basquiat,
like,
yeah.
Can you get more cliche? How about Philip Guston? Let's get something that is, whoa.
So wait a minute. So your problem is not with the call-outs, but that they're calling out to the wrong type of artist?
I mean, well, let's, like, and this will get to my next pick, which is, yes, it feels very predictable, I guess, as I would say.
Okay. So we brought you in here, Sean, because this is always something very popular with our listeners at the end where we're doing our year-end series to look at the worst musical moments of the year. But I'm going to give you a chance now to bring us out into the sunshine.
Yeah, I'm not just a hater, John. I love things, too. And one of the thing that I love the most from 2013 musically was Kanye West's Jesus Tour. And I think that for the exact reason I love the Jesus Tour is why I hated the performance artist trend. And that's because whereas the performance artist trend was musicians going into the gallery, Kanye took the gallery to the arena. It was mind-blowing. The set design, it was just insane. And I actually took kid that I mentor through Big Brothers Big Sisters. And he's 13, and he's seeing things that he you know, Kanye is referencing Alejandro Jodorowsky, who is this cult South American director. He did the
film director.
He did The Holy Mountain. If you get a chance, check the trailer out on YouTube. It's insane. He's dropping these references. You know, the mask that he's wearing looked to be designed by Margiela. The big 60-foot projection screen looks like a James Turrell sky space. I mean, these are pointed references, and the references to really incredible artists as opposed to Picasso. I mean, Picasso, granted, but they're things that made me go home and Google trying to find out these things. It was overwhelming.
So the Yeezus Tour by Kanye West, what did you think of the album?
I loved it. That was my favorite album of the year. I mean, but it came out in January, so by now we've forgotten. Apparently the Grammy nominees have forgotten it too.
Well, I'm seeing it on some best of lists. I'm also seeing it on some worst of lists. Very divisive record, which I always take as a pretty good sign. But anyway, the tour.
It was phenomenal, and I think there's a couple of dates left. Anybody that, I mean, it's one of those tours where I've thought about flying to the city to see it again. It was a work of art.
All right, Sean Manning, a contributor to Esquire.com. You can find Sean's complete list of the worst musical moments of 2013 on soundcheck.org. Despite which, I will say, Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year.
For my theme song, black. My leather black jeans on, black. My by any means on, partin', I'm getting my scream on, into the kingdom, black. But watch you bring home.
Coming up, our best live performances from bands like Ockerville River, Savages, and Iron and Wine. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. And as part of our year-end look back at 2013, we're revisiting some of our best live music that we recorded here in the Soundcheck studio. The Swedish singer Anna von Hauswolf did a really interesting, a very dark, and at times even creepy, but still interesting and beautiful album called Ceremony. Basically, it's her, a pipe organ, and her band. The song that she performed for us is, for lack of a better word, the single from the album. It's called Mountains Crave.
Thank you.
That is a song called Mountains Crave. You'll find a version of it on Ceremony, the record by the Swedish singer and church organist Anna von Hauswolf, the record actually made in a church in Sweden. Anna is the daughter of a somewhat controversial Swedish artist and musician, Carl Michael von Hauswolf, and her album really was both unsettling and uncannily beautiful. We're glad to have her with us on Soundcheck this year. I was really thrilled to have the band Ockerville River joining us because their album called The Silver Gymnasium is a real throwback to the days when you brought an album home and you just cleared 40 minutes from your schedule to just kind of soak it all in. It's not a concept record, but it tells the story of Will Scheff's time in Meriden, New Hampshire, a small town where he spent his childhood. It's the mid-80s. Something dramatically terrible has happened in this little town. He doesn't tell us exactly what. But at the same time that he's implying a real kind of horror unfolding, he's also giving us some of the most triumphant and buoyant music on the whole record. The song is called Down the Deep River, and here's how Ockerville River did it when they played it live for us.
In the street, and there are friends around you now, and all the days of your life in a line. All the way they seemed by 89, but it's not alright, it's not even close to alright. Seem like a very bad man, but we wanna keep away from them. Bending the road back there, we saw the place they go. Tell me about the greatest show, or the greatest movie you know, or the greatest song that you taped from off the radio. You wanna play it again and again, but it cuts off at the ending though. Tell me I'm always gonna be your best friend. Oh, you said it one time, why don't you say it again? All the way down the line to where the telephone ends. Come on and shout it on down the wire. But it's not alright, not even close to alright. Down a holiday house, down the road in December. And as the rescue party, the volunteer team, are they just kids of 18? And it's the worst thing they've seen, and they're standing all around that tree. And I'm so sorry, and I can't stop crying. Solid ghost. I ran and then I couldn't slow. My father found me though. My father took me home. He said, oh son, I saw you get knocked down. And I ran out of it. Your head was spinning. With that bright pain, you're stunned. When you're only just begun to be only just beginning. Tossing the vibe of it. All those feelings and fears and all that difficult stuff, kid, in those tender years. There was something in the air, something gathered in the air, something singing in the wind. I will be your fighter and you'll be my mirror, and you'll be alright, because I'll be right here. Oh, kid,
sky may be said there's a great gold spirit in the summer sky. All your friends, all your best, best friends are gonna gather around you. Bed at night, high, that don't make it all right, because it is still so far from all right. Oh shit, I know. Up the stairs, four flights up, can you feel my heart shirt? I'm waiting at the dawn of that dream, getting dimmer and dimmer. I said, are we going down the deep river?
Ackerville River, led by singer-songwriter Will Sheff, and a song called Down the Deep River. You'll find a version of that on Ackerville River's seventh album, The Silver Gymnasium, which came out this year and which figured pretty prominently on my top 10 reasons why New York music ruled the world this year. Ackerville River, for many years based in Austin, Texas, but Will lives and works in Brooklyn. The British post-punk band Savages came from London on a wave of hype, well-earned hype, built on just a couple of songs that they had released in the UK, but even more to the point, on their fantastic live performance, which they brought to the Soundcheck studio with this song called She Will. The Four Women of Savages, the British post-punk band from London, and a live performance of She Will. The band's debut album, Silence Yourself, came out to great reviews this year, and that's one of the songs they performed for us here in the Soundcheck studio. We also had a visit, a memorable one, from Sam Beam, the singer and guitarist who is a public radio favorite under the name Iron and Wine. He's been making records under that name since 2002, some of them just bare acoustic demos, and others with more expansive and even lush arrangements. And that is the case with Iron and Wine's last album, called Ghost on Ghost. Let's hear how Iron and Wine performed this song, Winter Prayers, live on Soundcheck.
Well, it's cold and you're bored from counting the smart cars on 94. When you dream you're back home, but the lakeside don't trust you to walk alone. Hollow trees talk offhand. All the neckties are toasting with empty cans, and you know why she's gone. Closing the river, drifting on. Slide down south, when once in a while your confidence leaves you like smoke falls out her red. Snow, but those sad souvenirs, they end at the fence line and they disappear. Why'd you follow her there? Milwaukee's a deaf ear for winter prayers. There's no night, there's no day, with only hope in your pocket and hell to pay. Slide in a while, your confidence leaves you like smoke falls out her red mouth.
Winter Prayers is the name of that song from Sam Beam, a.k.a. Iron and Wine, recorded live on Soundcheck this year. And as we've been looking back at the year in music for 2013, we've been revisiting some of the best live music performances on the program. We'll listen next to jazz bassist and band leader Christian McBride. Now, Christian has had an illustrious career in the jazz world, playing with people like Pat Metheny and Chick Corea. But he's no stranger to pop music either, because he's the go-to bassist for people like Sting. He's led many bands on his own, but never a trio, until this year, when he released the album Out Here and brought his trio into the Soundcheck studio to play this piece called Ham Hocks and Cabbage. Thank you. Ham Hocks and Cabbage is the name of this music from Christian McBride, the jazz bassist, composer, and band leader, and another of our favorite live performances here in the Soundcheck studio in 2013. If you missed any of Soundcheck's Year in Music series, be sure to catch up with podcasts and blog posts from the staff on soundcheck.org. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, and Jason Isaac. The show is produced by Katie Bishop, Dan O'Donnell, and Mike Katziff, with Isaac Davey Aronson, Amy Pearl, Krista Ripple, and our intern, Alex Martinez. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer. On behalf of all of us here at the show, have a great holiday. This is Soundcheck.